The plane was headed to Minneapolis. The passengers were put on another plane and arrived 3.5 hours behind schedule. A first-time winner at the Daytona 500.
It wasn't Jimmy Johnson or the Busch brothers or Tony Stewart or any other seasoned NASCAR Cup Series drivers who won this year's Daytona 500. It's a 20-year-old rookie named Trevor Bayne.
That was awesome. That was awesome, Trevor. You are the man, buddy. You are the man. Congratulations.
He's the youngest person to win at Daytona. It's also his first time at Daytona, at the Daytona 500. Evan Brown, Fox News Radio.
It was a good year to be a fisherman in Maine. It was not such a good year to be a lobster. It appears last year was a record breaker in terms of Maine lobster. Fishermen hooked 93.4 million pounds of crustaceans. The approximate value of all those shellfish, $308 million. I'm Karen Regal, Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is William Lycro, and tonight's guest is the famous ex-Mars writer, lecturer, and more. And he has a new book out called Conspiracy of the Six-Sided Star, and he's going to tell us all about it and more. But first, we're going to give a special thanks to our sponsors. All of those people have donated their monies and time and everything to keep Sovereign Minds going. We have advanced soil stabilization using Technisoil for dust control on roads, driveways, and parking lots. Also, they install Crestone driveways. Call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. That number again is 530-549-4801. And advanced soil is green friendly too, so you don't have to worry about your environment there. It eliminates dust. I can vouch for this. And also,
we also have Team Quest.
Yes,
we got
Team
Carlos
Quest.
Zapata down there on Hartnell and Victor. And his number will be 646-7346. He's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he's the man. I mean, the classes they got kid classes, great for young kids. They also go up to adults. You can get your belts. You can get advanced there. He can advance you, so you can become blue belts and purple belts and brown belts. But I definitely suggest anybody looking to get into shape.
Yep.
That'll whip you into shape really
I
good.
Agree.
And you'll learn how to whoop up. If you have to. Only good, in good self-defense, of course.
I like that, Nate. That's good. Okay, with that said, ladies and gentlemen, let's look at some news threads. The Middle East unrest continues. We have Egypt, Libya, Iran, Yemen, and more. I mean, like we said at the beginning when we first started Sovereign Minds, that once it starts happening in the Middle East, it's going to cascade and go right on down.
Lindsey Williams, he said it right. He said it on our show before anything was going on.
Yep, that's right. Very much so. And a U.S. judge is out on bail for racketeering and for, believe it or not, sending kids to jail for money. All I have to say about this guy is we need to get rid of him. He needs to go straight to the penitentiary for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's the system, though, too. You know, it's a corporation. Everything, the courts are corporations.
Yes, you're right.
Our police stations are corporations. So, of course, they're going to do for the good of the corporation. They're going to try to make as much money as they can.
Bingo.
So it's the whole system's corrupt.
That's
we
got to
throw all these bums out.
I agree there. We need to get rid of them all. And I'm going to try to touch on Wisconsin there, Nate. We talked about that before the show.
Well, yeah, I got a gripe with the left and the right tonight. Well, the left, I mean, the unions, these guys are getting paid. They have to put $1 in. They get $56 put in by the federal government into their health care.
That's bill. Right. That's exactly right.
And their insurance. So it's kind of messed up. But these teachers, they're, you know, their students are their top priority, but they're over here ditching school to come picket.
Yeah.
But then the one thing that kills me is all the picket signs were already pre-made for everybody.
Yeah,
it looks like they're made in their house, but nope, these were pros.
Yeah, as soon as they show up there, they get handed a sign.
It's all staged.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you don't see, of course, MSNBC, CNN, where are these guys at with the targets and the racism? And you go look at this. I've seen lots of video. You can just go look at it. There's Hitler signs. There's kill kill this governor.
That's right.
I mean, there's targets.
Myself.
It's everything. So, I mean, where are you guys at now, guys? Come on.
Yep, definitely. But as you guys can tell, Nate's hot tonight. He's got something going.
This clip is really why I'm hot, though.
Go ahead, Nate. Explain this clip, and we'll play it for you.
This is for the Fox people, because to me, at least the Fox News people, they care about the Constitution. They're just misled, and they're, these people are using them to get to support their agenda.
Yeah.
And so, that's why I was drawn to them at first, too, is because I love the Constitution, and
sure,
that's the only thing we... So they talk about it, they pretend like... But no, they are misleading you, and here's an example. Ron Paul wins the CPEC 2 years in a row now.
Uh-huh. He got an outstanding ovation for that.
Oh,
but they patched it.
And we're
going
to show it. Yeah, they manipulated the video on Fox News and played it like he was getting booed.
Yeah, when he was.
Last year there was a lot more boos.
Uh-huh.
And they cut that, they spliced that video into this year's video, and they told all their viewers that it was this year.
Uh-huh.
And they had even had Ron Paul on.
Uh-huh.
And so to me, that just tells me that they do not care about their listeners.
Doing it.
They're trying to lie to their listeners.
Yeah.
So they think their listeners are stupid, and they wouldn't catch that.
Uh-huh. Well, they did.
And so here we go. I'm going to just play a whole clip. It's going to play the real applause first, and then it's going to play the Fox News clip.
Okay, here we go.
It is the result of the presidential straw poll, and this year probably was one of the longer lists we've ever had. And we had a number of write-in candidates, which I'll touch on when I show the results. And we asked it two ways. We asked it as a first choice, and we asked it as a second choice. And I'll show the combination of both. And the next slide, the winner of the straw poll this year, Congressman
This was the first one.
This is what really happened at CPAC this year.
Yes. Listen to that applause there, ladies and gentlemen. And then you're going to hear what C-SPAN put in there, Fox put in there after this.
I'm
going to show you how your media is manipulated.
Left and the right.
Yeah, both.
Still tears.
Mm-hmm.
The place going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Love it.
Congressman Ron Paul gets 30%. Home of Massachusetts.
All right, now here is the new Fox clip. This is what they want you to make you think happen.
The winner of this year's CPAC straw poll is now...
He's got a different color shirt on. I can't believe they even tried to do this.
Yeah, you need to look at this on the internet, okay, ladies and gentlemen. It just shows you how much your media is manipulated.
The winner of this year's CPAC straw poll is Texas Congressman Ron Paul.
Listen to all the videos.
In the end, he's the winner. Probably not the reaction he was hoping for.
That's it right there.
So that's pathetic. I mean,
very much so.
Just like we were talking about right before here, the only reason why they would do that is because they're scared.
That's right.
Because they know that Ron Paul is a threat. That's why they have Donald Trump come out before that and say, oh, no, the chance. Hey, he got 30. There was nobody close. Mitt Romney was the next closest. And there was nobody... I don't know. It's pathetic how they...
Definitely.
Whoever won CPAC was guaranteed to win, you know, when Reagan won it. But now that Ron Paul is no serious, so anyway.
Yep, that's it. And okay, that's it for the news threads. And as you can see, your media is very well manipulated out there. And as I said before, we have my friend Tex Mars, author of many books, lecturer, and more. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tex Mars. Hey, Tex, how you doing?
Hey, William. Great to be... on your program, and nice to hear your voice again. I had a wonderful time at that conspiracy convention with you last year, and I remember it very fondly.
Yep, me too. I loved your speech up there. I mean, it was really good. It set me on fire, that's for sure. That's one reason why I contacted
you
again.
Thank you so much. I sort of liked the time we were sitting, I guess we're about six of the speakers, all of the speakers, I suppose, quite a large audience, but they were asking, you know, questions, just spontaneous,
yeah.
Given the microphone, and you did a marvelous job. You're very quick on your feet, and again, you know, no preparation, but just taking questions from the audience, and I was very impressed by that. But again, nice to be with you tonight.
Yeah, definitely you too. Now, you've written a few books here, Where the Rich and Famous Dwell, The Sun at Midnight. You also have your radio show, Power of Prophecy Radio. You've also written Conspiracy World, Codex Magica, and you have a new book out now. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that.
Well, thank you, William. Actually, it's not out, and this is you really sort of have the premier opening program here, because I'm in the very last stages of it. It probably won't be out until about June 1, but I'll be glad to give your audience a little preview of the book. And you're right, I've written I think around 46 books, something like that. I can't remember now exactly.
So many, but, so good.
Well, this book I think is going to be quite an unusual book. As I said, I'm finishing the last parts of it now. Very large book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. The subtitle, I think, is very descriptive. It says, A Truth Teller's Compendium of Eye-Opening Revelations and Forbidden Knowledge About Israel, the Jews, Zionism, and the Rothschilds.
Oh, okay.
So we sort of cover the waterfront there. And, you know, I was listening to you and your psychic there about Fox News and how they sort of rigged what happened at the Conservative Political Action Committee.
Mm-hmm.
With Ron Paul. This is a, you know, when you look at the subject matter of my book and you see what happened with Fox News and their decision to try to pan, basically downgrade Ron Paul, and I understand that exactly what is going on. You know, the last election, they did the same thing because they kept having polls showing Ron Paul was ahead, you know, of the other candidates in the last election. And it got so bad in favor of Ron Paul that finally Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and the others wouldn't even mention the polls anymore. They didn't want people to know that Ron Paul was that popular.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing will happen again. Just the other night, Bill O'Reilly of the O'Reilly Factor, William, had Charles Krauthammer on. Charles Krauthammer is a very... let's just say he's quite an intelligent man, but very much a Zionist Israel firster.
Yes, sir.
And they discussed the Tea Parties, Ron Paul, and it was Krauthammer, and of course O'Reilly went right along with it. Krauthammer's conclusion was that the people at the CPAC meeting, the Ron Paul people, are a fringe group. They're a bunch of know-nothing college students, and there's no chance at all. Ron Paul is a fringe candidate, and we really shouldn't even spend our time talking about him. This was what O'Reilly and Krauthammer were basically saying. Now, you have to understand that Rupert Murdoch is a very ardent Zionist. In fact, he was one of the keynote speakers at the Jewish ADL meeting this year. He's an Australian. His son also works at the network and basically is... he and Roger, although Roger Iles is there, Murdoch's son sort of runs the show there, and he's very much, again, a Zionist. Here's the problem that they've got with Ron Paul and his son, you know, the new Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky.
Yes.
Ron Paul is by no means a racist or anti-Semite or anything of the sort. But he is now being smeared by the Zionist lobby, by the Jewish-Israeli lobby, and called an anti-Semite, Holocaust denier, which is crazy, absolute. They're bringing out the anti-Semite card. They're calling him a, you know, they're talking about his jack-booted thugs.
Yeah.
The Nazis at the CPAC that were Ron Paul people. And then, by the way, one of the guys that's pushing this is David Horowitz.
Hmm.
David Horowitz, a Jew, what they call a neocon, which is a new type of conservative, basically that's for Israel first, America last. That's what they're all about.
You're right.
And now they're calling Rand Paul and Ron Paul anti-Semite, jackbooted thugs, Nazis, that want to see the Jews brought to the ovens again. Now, you may say, my goodness, what brought that on, William? Mm-hmm. I mean, boy, they must have done something horrible. Yes, here's what they've done horrible. Rand Paul said we must cut the deficit. We've got to stop spending, and we need to put America first. I want to stop the foreign aid.
Okay.
Well, now, there's a problem for the Israeli firsters and the Zionists, because Israel, since 1948, has received over $500 billion from the United States.
Amazing.
$500 billion with a big B, and David Horowitz and all of the Zionists and people like Krauthammer say, no, you don't cut that off. Israel is the biggest recipient of foreign aid. Now, if you visit Israel, go visit the beaches, and you'll see the women topless, wearing their bikinis. You drive down the freeways, and they're driving Mercedes and Jaguars. Israel is one of the richest countries in the world, and it's only got 7.5 million people. But the Palestinians now, they live on the reservation. They're just like the Native American Indians, 50 years ago.
Yes, sir, I know that. Mm-hmm.
Apartheid is there. They live still out in the refugee camps. They've been kicked out of their homes. Their homes have been stolen. And meanwhile, the Israelis are working with Rothschild, with BP Oil Company, and they are all stealing the oil from Iraq. People want to know where all the Iraqi oil went to? Well, I'll be glad to divulge that on your radio show today. I can tell you exactly where Iraq, the world's second largest producer of oil at this time, a country that we have spent around 4,000 plus American lives for, mm-hmm. why we went there and what happened to all that oil. But what I want you to understand is they hate Ron Paul. Here's why they hate Ron Paul now. They said that both he and his son are against wars, unconstitutional wars. Well, right now we're over in the Middle East fighting unconstitutional wars,
yes,
in
sir.
Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq. We're messing around in Yemen, and now we're threatening Iraq and Syria. All of this to build a greater Israel and to steal the oil. And that's exactly what Israel wants to keep us over there for. And when Ron Paul says, let's bring the troops home, he's messing with Zionism.
Yes.
And he's a Nazi. He's a Holocaust denier. And this is the game they play, just like black people sometimes pull out the race card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharpton.
Oh, yes.
The Jews pull out their anti-Semite card. So suddenly both the Pauls, simply because they want us to go with the Constitution, to not fight these unnecessary, futile wars, waste lives, they want to stop the Fed. And by the way, the Fed Reserve has always had a Jewish head.
Mm-hmm.
The Bernanke's Jewish. Greenspan, his predecessor, was Jewish. Volcker was Jewish. You go all the way back, even to the time of Richard Nixon, and they had Arthur Burns. He was a Jew.
That's right.
The Jewish bankers, and by the way, Timothy Geithner, our Secretary of Treasury, is also a Jew.
Henry Paulson.
And was with the New York Federal Reserve Bank before he became there. And before him, well, just go on back. Reuben was with Clinton. He was a Jew. He was Secretary of Treasury. Let's see.
Oh, you can go back a long way.
Yeah, just look at Obama's look at Obama's administration. It's filled with dual citizenships.
It really is.
And so,
and it's a shame, but we are owned by Israel today, and they make up only about 2 to 3% of the American population, the Jews.
Very true.
But they control America. You know, I did a little poll a couple of months ago. And I sit and watch TV for one weekend and watch the talking heads.
Okay.
And I wrote down the names. Now, you never can tell about race, you know. It's possible that I made a mistake. You know, there's some people that have names that sound Jewish or whatever, but they're not.
Right.
But on the other hand, there are people with names that sound English or German that turned out to be Jewish. But I counted 88 talking heads over that weekend because I'm quite a news hound. And would you believe that 69 of them were Jews?
Wow.
That's what we have.
Wow.
You know, 69 of them were Jews. And that's what we have. You go to Columbia University, which has America's number one school of journalism, and you will find that although Jews are less than 3% of American population, 40% of the student population at Columbia are Jews.
Interesting.
So they've really got a head start on us here, but you know, we can trace this thing all the way back to JFK, to Richard Nixon, who was thrown out of office because he went up against the Jews. So we've really got a problem in America. And by the way, if people want to say, well, Texmore, you sure are sounding anti-Semitic. No, I'm just anti-racism. I'm against racism.
Yes,
I have been all of my life.
Yeah, when I spoke to you the first time, I could tell that right off the top.
I appreciate that, William, because people, they misunderstand, and they, well, golly, and, you know, and especially because the Jews so often use the Holocaust card or the anti-Semite card, that's, you know, like Helen Thomas found out, that was the one group you can't say anything negative about, or they'll destroy you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've seen, you know, and this happened to our country, and it happened, I think they helped overthrow the czars in Russia, and I think the Nazis had a big thing. If you look at all the Lenin's administration, if you look at Hitler's administration, a lot of them were full of Zionists. And before we piss too many people off, I guess, we're talking about Zionism. We're not talking about just a person that wants to practice the Jewish religion. I mean,
right.
And I liked how you elaborated on that in one of your earlier documentaries I saw. Can you maybe tell our audience that? We have about 4 minutes till a break.
Till break time, yeah.
And then maybe can you just kind of get so everybody doesn't get the wrong opinion, because there is a little group like the KKK of the Christian religion, and I think that's who we're talking about that runs our the banking system and obviously the media and everything else. And I don't think it's a racist thing. It's just a group thing out of control.
Well, what we really have to do here, and you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. When a small group, a small band of criminals take over a nation or take over even a people, there's where your problem begins. And you're right, even within Christianity, we've had cults.
Yes.
But that doesn't indict all Christians, naturally.
Right.
So, you know, every group, I'm sure there were many people in Germany. In fact, there were Germans who attempted to assassinate Hitler to end World War II.
Yes, there were.
So the same thing in Soviet Russia, only a minority. And by the way, Lenin was Jewish. Trotsky, his number two, was Jewish. And of the 22 members of the Politburo, that was the ruling council of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union in 1917, 19 of the 22 were Jews. Almost, in fact, Solzhenitsyn, you know, who's been called the conscience of the 20th century, whose books sold tens of millions, you'll remember Gulag Archipelago.
Yeah, I read that.
But here's the man who won the Nobel Peace Prize, who, goodness gracious, he really a humanitarian. But his last book was called 200 Years Together. No publisher in America would publish it. Now, remember, here's a guy who had tens of millions of copies.
Uh-huh.
His book is a bestseller in Russia, but the publishing industry is run by Jews in America. And I mean Harper & Row, Doubleday, Simon & Schuster. Now, I should know because I've written many books for them over the years, including three number one best-selling Christian books. And even the Christian book companies are now owned mainly by Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shocking thing. So they make sure that the books that expose these things do not get published. So, again, the problem is these criminal Zionists are speaking for all of the Jewish people.
Yes.
But I know many Jews that are pretty sick of this themselves.
I've talked to a few myself, yeah.
Yeah, Henry Macko, a good friend of mine, Dr. Henry Macko, he's written a great book about, I think it's entitled Illuminati, the Cult That Hijacked the World. He's Jewish, but he's sick and tired of these Zionists who put Israel first, who are just plain criminals, who organized the Federal Reserve, and now are behind Obama. Obama absolutely is owned lock, stock, and barrel by Rothschild Soros interests.
Sure.
And frankly, I'm just going to put it bluntly to everybody. He is not an American. There is no birth certificate, and there never will be, because he wasn't born in America. He's not a natural-born citizen. He needs to be impeached from office, and if anybody in Congress had guts, he would be.
Yeah, you know, Tex, I've done my own research on that. Found the original birth certificate. His mother couldn't even go on the plane because she was pregnant, 9 months pregnant, to get to Hawaii. So he was born in the other country. Six weeks later, they went to Hawaii, and that's where that birth certificate came from. But they can't find an original stamped, hardcore, long-form birth certificate for him at all.
Isn't that something? You know, the new governor of Hawaii, Governor Neil Abercrombie, just elected. He's a big friend of Obama's. He's a liberal Democrat. And he actually held a press conference, and he says, when I'm inaugurated as governor, you Republicans are all going to have egg on your face because I'm going to order the state health department to produce the birth certificate. We're going to come out with that birth certificate, and you're going to find out that you guys are a bunch of, you know, crazies. Well, he was sworn into office. And now he admits he cannot find any birth certificate in Hawaii.
That's why I'm chuckling here. Yes, sir.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
By the way, the Republicans, they don't want to fight that battle. For one thing, they think the fact that he's not a citizen and he lied is going to gain momentum, and it's going to hurt him in the next election. So they see sort of a lame duck president, a crippled president here, and so they would really like for him to stay in office, because they think he's going to get weaker and weaker with that birth certificate issue. And that's why Boehner and Cantor and the other Republicans are going to do nothing about that issue. But I think they should.
Yeah. Or they don't want, or they want to just open that one up in case they got a neocon that they want in that's not a natural born citizen. Then it's going to be okay.
Well, that's true. And, you go all the way back to, maybe when we come back from the break, we can talk about it, Nixon era.
Yeah.
One of the things I discuss in my book is what really happened to President Nixon and his vice president, Spiro T. Agnew. Both of them were ambushed by the Jewish lobby and the Jewish billionaires in America, and they were destroyed.
Yes, you're right. And we have to go right to break right now, and we'll touch right on that as soon as we come back. Tex, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Hey, Linda, head on down to Espresso Joe's. They've got the best coffee for the best prices, and I'm in the mood.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And their special this month is dark mocha. My favorite.
You know, the cost of coffee is on the rise again, too. You know, I want to pick up a couple of pounds for our supply. I want to get some of the Colombia Supremo, my favorite.
Okay, let's go to Espresso Joe's. Fun place, great coffee, and really nice people. Espresso Joe's, 2143 Hilltop, where you get more Joe.
Attention experienced caregivers or those with an interest in working with the elderly. Home Helpers is currently hiring compassionate caregivers. We work with elderly clients in their homes. All our services are non-medical, so past experience is helpful but not necessary. At Home Helpers, we value our caregivers and have many incentives. If you have retired and have 10 to 20 hours a week or are looking to make a job change, why not work with seniors and allow them the independence to remain at home? Our services include light housekeeping, transportation, preparing meals, medication reminders, and companionship. Schedules are available weekdays, evenings, weekends, and overnights. All applicants must pass a criminal background check and DMV screening. If you feel called to help seniors and are committed to providing a safe and wonderful experience for our clients, Home Helpers is interested in you. Please visit our website at homehelpers.cc or call 226-8350 for more information. Home Helpers is committed to helping all seniors age at home. Home Helpers, there is no place like home.
Feel tired, run down, or in pain? You don't have to live this way. Maybe we can help. Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. For 18 years, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice on Court Street in Reading. Our customized program of body work and nutrition can give you renewed energy, a stronger immune system, and a healthier outlook on life. Call us at 244-7873. It's your health. You deserve it. That number again is 244-7873.
Gentlemen, this is William White, Crow Sovereign Lands back, and if you want to call in at any time, the phone number is 530-605.
1-800-795-4567. But as I know a lot of you out there love listening to what's going on, don't want to interrupt, you can keep on doing that too. But Tex, we're taking it back to you and continue on with what you were saying.
Well, you know, one of the things that I want people to understand is that really since the days of all the way go back to Woodrow Wilson, Jews have had a big oversized influence in America. And each of our presidents has had a what I call a Jewish handler. Colonel E. Mandel House was in the White House and basically told Woodrow Wilson what to do. The Jews had dirt on Wilson. They knew of his affairs. They had evidence of the affairs that he was having. In fact, he had a mistress living with him in the White House. And so he had to do what they wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the three things that they got from him, number one was the Federal Reserve.
Yep, and then the 16th Amendment and the 17th Amendment.
The IRS Act, 1913, and World War One.
That's right.
So then we come with World War Two, and the same thing with FDR. He was basically controlled by two billionaire Jews who acted for the Jewish World Council. One was a Manhattan, Bernard Baruch.
The other
was Henry Morgenthau, Roosevelt made his Secretary of the Treasury. So here again, we get back to the money thing. Mm-hmm. Truman, when he took over as president, this same faction controlled him. But toward the end of his candidacy, he got so angry and upset being treated, you know, just like an idiot. They would just walk into his office and tell him what he was going to do.
Wow.
Mr. Baruch and Morgenthau, that he tried to rebel against him. One of the things they had him to do, you know, was to create a nation out of Israel in 1948. If it had not been for the United States working with communist Russia, of all things, Israel would have never become an independent nation again in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
Within 2 minutes of each other, as planned, and it was numerologically done, by the way, because the Jews are very deep into black magic, occult numerology and such. Within 2 minutes of each other, both the Soviet Union and the United States recognized Israel as a nation, but they did not go along with what the United Nations had approved, which was to establish two nations side by side, one Palestine and one Israel.
True.
Instead, the Palestinians were shafted, and the Israelis came in. All the Israelis that came in, by the way, to found the nation, all were communists, most of them from the Iron Curtain countries. David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister, was a Marxist-Leninist, a monster terrorist. He became the first prime minister of Israel. And by the way, Rahm Emanuel, the former White House chief of staff, his father was also a terrorist with the Irgun gang, slit many throats of people and such, mm-hmm. including British soldiers and others, and he
served in the Israeli army.
Israel.
Yeah, he served in the Israeli army, not the American army.
Rahm Emanuel refused to serve in the U.S. Army during the first Persian Gulf War.
That's right.
He went over and went to Israel and served in their army.
And he's currently dual citizenship. And I actually received a map, and it's called the Post-War New World Map. And it was before World War II was even near over. And it has Israel lined out and all the new lines already drawn.
What countries are going to be what countries? Yeah, that's very true. I've seen the map. Yep.
And of course, I believe they fostered World War II to get Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, all of that is another story. Back to Nixon. Nixon was a very special case. Truman, you know, let's go back to him first. Truman made Israel into a nation. But right in the end of his administration, he told one of his top aides, he said, you know, I gave them what they wanted to, said Harry Truman. They wanted their own nation, and I gave it to them. So why don't they all go back there? You know, well, of course, there are 18 and a half million Jews in all the world, just 18 and a half million. There are 7.5 million of them living in Israel, and 7.5 million more living in the United States.
Okay.
So between these two countries, there are 15 million Jews, and only 3.5 million around the world otherwise, most of them in France and Germany.
Okay.
France and Great Britain. But they have incredible control of America, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Miami Beach, And now they're gaining a great foothold here in the state of Texas.
You look at AIPAC. I mean, that's the biggest lobbying group there is.
Yes, that's right.
And they lobby for Israel.
Mm-hmm. They lobby for Israel. They have their spies working in the Pentagon and throughout the government. In fact, one of the most notorious spies in history is Jonathan Pollard.
That's right.
He's sitting in prison now. An Israeli spy. He stole our most precious secrets about nuclear weapons, about nuclear submarines, about missiles. Over 150,000 pages of top secret and secret documents he stole as a defense employee. He was born in Galveston, Texas, but he loved Israel more than the United States and was a spy for them. But most of the material that he gave Israel, Israel then turned around and gave to Soviet Russia and to Red China.
That's right.
And the reason why is because Red China was founded with the help of communist Jews, and Soviet Russia was a communist Jewish state. All the Bolsheviks were all Jews. And by the way, if you don't believe me, just Google up, just type in Vladimir Lenin, Jew. What you will find is the Russian people, when Lenin seized power, the Russians were told that he was, you know, just a normal Russian citizen, patriotic. But in fact, he had been living in Austria and in Germany for many years. Now, his number two man, Leon Trotsky, a monster if there ever was one, who murdered so many millions of Russians, especially Christians, Leon Trotsky actually was a Jew from the Bronx, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Lenin could not even speak Russian well, had a terrible accent, and so they didn't drag him out for speeches very often. So we're talking about Jews, crypto Jews, secret Jews, that carried out, according to Solzhenitsyn, 66 million people perished.
That's very true. Nate and I were talking about that just before the show. You're hitting the nail on the head.
Thousands of gulags. I mean, Hitler's concentration camps, they were just pale imitations. I mean, the Russians had incredible thousands of gulag camps.
And also, I always make this connection to our FEMA camps now, and I look at the Bolshevik Revolution, and then they took power. Anti-Semites would get killed right on the spot. They'd just get shot in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Germany, I see them, because it was just a battle between the Nazis and the Bolshevik Party, which was two in the same, if you ask me. And then they cleaned it up a little bit more with the concentration camps. And now we go move to America now with the FEMA camps.
With the FEMA camps.
Now
it's so. And everything, yeah.
That is really true. This is my fear. Now, you know, up to now we've had some protections with our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, but those are quickly evaporating. And now under the guise of, terrorism, I'm afraid we're quickly going to, all of us are going to evaporate. And the Rand Pauls and gentlemen like you with bravery and with that American patriot spirit.
Well, thank you.
We're going to be plowed under. And it can happen overnight, just like it happened in Soviet Russia and Germany.
You're right.
I don't want to live under that kind of control anyway. So it doesn't matter.
No, that's true. But to think that our families would be taken away to these FEMA camps, and this is real things. And by the way, it's not a Democrat or Republican issue. George W. Bush certainly was part of this conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
As was Bill Clinton. Now, I'm convinced that there are three presidents that really were not totally into this conspiracy that can go back to the last six decades. First of all, Richard Nixon. He really wanted to turn America around. I'm not saying he was a perfect president, but remember the Watergate thing, which didn't compare with some of the things that Bill Clinton did or Obama or even George W. Bush.
Very true.
The 9/11 hoax, for example.
Oh, man.
But Nixon was destroyed because of the Watergate thing, forced to resign. How did that come about? Well, you see, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the newspapers that did that, they are owned by Jews. Absolutely the truth. The Sulzberger family owned and still owns New York Times, along with a Mexican Jew named Carlos Slim. And then the Washington Post was owned by the Graham family, also Jews. So, and then they got two Jewish reporters, Woodward and Bernstein, and they, you know, began writing these negative articles. And they claimed that they had a secret contact in the White House called Deep Throat.
Right, I remember that.
It turned out that Deep Throat actually was the deputy director of the FBI, whose name was Mark Felt. He was a Jew. Mm-hmm. So this is Daniel Ellsberg, who came out with the Pentagon Papers, from the leaked them from the Defense Department, was a Jew. And Nixon and Agnew, the vice president, understood this. Now, I don't know if y'all are aware of the Nixon-Billy Graham tapes.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, there's a good example. You can actually, the National Archives have now released some of the tapes. You can go online and listen to them.
That's right. They're good.
And Nixon is talking with Billy Graham, who was visiting at the White House. And Billy Graham said to Nixon, he said, "You know, Mr. President, there are satanic Jews. The synagogue of Satan, they're calling the Bible. And they control the American media. They control our entertainment, Hollywood, all these things. They're the ones that are pushing the pornography and the smut." And he said, "And if we don't do something about it soon, America is going down the drain."
Wow.
And Nixon said, you'll hear him say, "Boy, I agree with you on that."
Yeah.
And he said, "But we can't come out with that publicly, because they're so powerful. They're everywhere, in the government, in the media. So we can't let the people know what we're thinking, what we do know." And Graham said, "Oh, I agree with you absolutely." He says, "But they want to destroy the Christian church." And he said, "And they think I'm their friend." And he said, "And I want to be their friend," said Billy Graham. "I want to be the friend of Jews. But we've got to do something about," basically he was talking about a conspiracy.
Sure.
Now, Agnew began giving speeches and getting very close to this, and finally he gave one fatal speech in which he said that the wealthy Jews own the media in America. And that was when they decided to get rid of him. Now, here's what they do. Agnew had made a terrible mistake. Way back when he was head of the county in Maryland, where he came from, years before, he had taken a kickback from a contractor.
Yes.
No sooner had he given that speech than suddenly he was contacted and told, "We've got the evidence on you. We have the statements and everything about this kickback you took. We want you to resign as vice president immediately, or, we're going to come out with this and you're going to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'll go ahead and resign, we'll just give you a slap on the wrist and, you won't go do any prison time." See, they keep these dossiers. If you've had a mistress, if you've stolen money somewhere, if you cheated on your taxes, always the IRS commissioner practically always is Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
The IRS commissioner right now is a man named Shulman. They're always Jews. And even Nixon knew this. And by the way, not long after Billy Graham and Richard Nixon had that discussion in the Oval Office, that Billy Graham suddenly was investigated by the IRS, and his entire ministry was harassed and intimidated for over a year by the IRS.
I remember that well. Yeah, you're right.
100%. That tape, somehow, Nixon thought he was taping everything in the Oval Office. He wanted to use it to do his memoirs or whatever. But evidently, the Jews had access to this. The same thing happened with Monica Lewinsky.
Oh, yeah.
And Rahm Emanuel was working as an assistant to Bill Clinton. And Dick Morris, he's one of the Fox contributors.
Yes, sir.
He has said, he told Bill on the Bill O'Reilly Show, he said, "I told Bill Clinton, some things about Rahm Emanuel that I told him." And he said, "Dick, you made a terrible mistake. Don't tell Rahm Emanuel anything. He's a plant. He's not on my side."
Uh-huh. Of course,
he was working in the White House. Why didn't Bill Clinton fire him?
Good question.
He couldn't. He was placed there. And by the way, Monica Lewinsky worked for Rahm Emanuel. Linda Tripp is now pretty well told everybody what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Monica Lewinsky was placed in the White House, given access, and they knew that poor old Clinton was a sex hound, and they found a Jewish girl, you know. By the way, after the impeachment hearings were over and everything, Monica Lewinsky was richly rewarded with contracts from cosmetic companies that used her as their, you know, representative.
Oh, big time.
Owned by Jews.
Yeah.
So she was rewarded. Agnew, the reason they wanted to get rid of Agnew as vice president, because they had already instituted the Watergate thing, and they knew they were going to get rid of Nixon one way or another.
Yeah, he knew that
and
was
they didn't
downfall.
Want Agnew to end up as president because he was even more deadly in exposing the Jews and the Jewish lobby than was the president.
Yeah, he was pretty outspoken about it.
Yeah, how about he was, you know,
Brzezinski.
And he was very colorful, and he had a big following.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, my goodness, we cannot force Nixon out until we first get Agnew out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reason why suddenly Agnew just up and quit, and we found out what had happened with the contractor kickback. And then, of course, Nixon was hounded out of office as well.
So how about, because I know Brzezinski, he was back in the Clinton administration. He's in Obama's administration. He's a big, big-time globalist, and I think that's who we're fighting is the
globalists.
We have
yeah.
people that think a global government is good and one world currency, and then there's other people like myself and William Michael and Chandler here that think the sovereign nation is the way it is, a free person. Brzezinski, isn't that another Zionist too? What can you tell everybody about him? Because I know he's worried. He even came out recently
right
saying that the people are waking up. So
you know, Brzezinski is an interesting character because he was really promoted by Rockefeller, and when Rockefeller created the Trilateral Commission, he brought Brzezinski on as his main man there. Then Brzezinski was part of the Council on Foreign Relations Network.
That's right.
You know, he was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. I would have thought he would be a real strong Zionist, but he's shown some indications recently that he is opposed to their plan. Now, maybe he was just a New World Order guy, you know, very obedient and so forth. And now he's beginning to see where all this is leading. And he seems to have made a little turn. I'm not sure. I would not
getting scared.
Totally trust him.
Yeah,
his hands are bloody. He knows what's going to happen once we wake up.
Well, he is pretty scared right now. There's no doubt about that. So.
Well, you know, Brzezinski's a little older now, and I don't know what he's. A lot of people used to think that Rockefeller was the main cog in the New World Order conspiracy. But there's no doubt now that Rothschild. You know,
Rothschild,
when
yeah.
I don't know if you've seen my video called Rothschild's Choice.
Yes, I have.
Have you? Okay, William. Amazing information there. And the interesting thing about Rothschild's Choice is the very rich Jews in Chicago, Abner Mikva, for example, very, very rich, a real mover and shaker, former federal judge, former congressman. He makes them and breaks them in Chicago. He gave a interview right after Obama was elected. He was one of the biggest campaign supporters of Obama. He told the Chicago Tribune, and by the way, Chicago Tribune is owned by a Jew. I showed that in my video. And he told the Chicago Tribune, Barack Obama is going to be the first Jewish president.
Yeah, that's what they said. If you look at a lot of Israel publications, it says the first Jewish president.
It does.
Yes. Now, here's another thing for you that I've exposed, and it really has not made the press, naturally. They won't bring it out. Before she was chosen as vice president, Sarah Palin was listed. They use the word vetted now. In other words, she was sort of auditioned.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Morris went to, who's Jewish, a political advisor, went to Alaska to interview her. He took the guy, let's see, William Kristol of the Weekly Standard, the Republican magazine.
That's right.
He's Jewish, a neocon. And they went to Alaska to interview her to see how strong she was for Israel, to see if she could be a Zionist candidate for them with McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but then suddenly the Israeli magnates in Israel invited her to come to Israel. She went to Israel. And while she was there, the number one radio talk show in Israel interviewed her and ended up saying that of all the 50 governors of the United States, Sarah Palin is the most pro-Israel and pro-Zionist. And it was then, after she had been auditioned, that it was decided that she would be the vice president. Now, I understand, and this was a story, but they were correct, and in the New Yorker magazine that told of what happened there. McCain was told by Crystal and the others, we've got a vice president for you. He said, who? And they said, the governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin. He said, never heard of her. And he said, I want Joseph Lieberman to be my vice president's choice. Well, Lieberman's as liberal as you can get.
Very true.
He had been a Democrat. And, of course, but he was Jewish, and they wouldn't have minded Lieberman so much, but Crystal and the others told McCain, no, Republicans will stay away from the polls. They hate Lieberman. Mm-hmm. He's pro-abortion. He's the pro-homosexuality. Mm-hmm. In fact,
very, very liberal.
Many, many stories out there that he's homo as can be, bisexual. Well, as, by the way, is Rahm Emanuel, bisexual.
Okay.
You may have seen him. I had a picture of him as a ballerina.
Yeah, I've seen that
in my newsletter. That was a real picture.
Did you see the Giuliani clip dressed up like a woman?
And yeah, Giuliani. Well, you know, Giuliani lived for 2.5 years with a man.
Yeah.
He's bisexual as can be.
Oh, yes, he is. Now, Tex, we have a few minutes here with you and everything left and everything. I want you to touch base on your new book and everything.
Well, thank you, William. It's not going to be out there 2 months. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's about 432 pages, huge format, large format. And it will be out about May the 15th, probably. Okay. So please do look for it. But the people may want to check out Rothschild's Choice, where I expose the fact that Barack Obama not only is not a U.S. citizen, but in fact, rich billionaire Jews gave him all the money. It wasn't little people. It wasn't Black, certainly, that gave him the money to run for president. He was financially set up by very rich Jews, and they can be traced all the way from Chicago back to Great Britain in Lord Jacob Rothschild and his son, Nathaniel.
And the Queen of England, I mean, doesn't she have a big hand in our Federal Reserve System? And don't they all link back to Germany into, I know it's like a Saxe, a Weimar, I can't remember, it's like a foreign name. But have you heard of that?
Well, yes, the British family that's there now did indeed. They have German blood. They came from the German bloodline.
Right.
But of course, you know, at that time, all of the nobility before World War I, particularly in Europe and Russia, were all related. They were all cousins and
They were all interrelated and everything. Definitely.
The Tsar of Russia, the Romanov family, Nicholas. When he was fearing for his life and his family, his cousins were the current, you know, royal family of Great Britain. He asked them to please let him flee to Great Britain for safety.
Definitely.
Because he knew the communists were going to kill him.
Definitely. And with that said, Tex, unfortunately, we have ran out of time. We'd love to have you on the show again. We're going to get more time. We're going to go to 2 hours here.
Yeah, thank you a lot for coming on. This is Nate and William.
Definitely. Thank you very much, and I'll give you a call back later and everything, probably tomorrow or something, touch base. We'd love to have you back again, but unfortunately, this is the end of the show at this time. So
I understand it. Thank you so much for being on with you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. You really, our listeners out there are going crazy on the chat. Okay, thank you, Tex. And with that said, wow, amazing.
Well, let's get back into the government really quick.
We're getting short.
I wanted to tell everybody about what the Pentagon has revealed.
Okay.
It's a tiny 4 million nano hummingbird, a spy hummingbird that they've developed 5 years ago, but they've just come out with. But okay, so now we have hummingbirds that are remote control so that can spy on us.
Yeah.
So just go Google. Just Google Pentagon
and
hummingbird. That's it.
Yep.
And check it out. I mean,
this is just one of the probes and drones that they have out there.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying. That's
and with that said, I'm going to go thank once again all of our sponsors
Advanced soil stabilization using Technisoil for dust control on roads, driveways, and parking lots. They also install Crestone driveways. Call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. And that's Advanced Soil is also, as we said, friendly, green friendly. It eliminates dust. And with that said, this is William White.
Get down to Team Quest, too.
Yeah,
Team
definitely
Quest.
Team Quest. And with that said, this is William White Crow of Sovereign Minds saying good night and have a good day. And stay tuned next week. We got another special guest for you you're going to love.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. The son of longtime leader Muammar Gaddafi blames the deadly violence in Libya on outsiders.
They're provoking us here to die, and then why do they do that? Because then they want to come here and rule us and rule Libya.
The government TV translation of Saif al-Islam Gaddafi, more than 200 people have reportedly been killed in confrontations between police and anti-Gaddafi protesters. The U.S. government says it is gravely concerned about the violence in Libya as it watches unrest in the entire Arab world.
We want to advance our security, our values, and our interests. And if there were one template that could be imposed on every situation, I wouldn't need to have this job, and nobody else would have to either. But this is often a balancing act.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on ABC News this week. It could be back to school this week for protesting teachers in Wisconsin.